Matthew, chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. Then the five Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit up on him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the city. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he set it forth, justice to victory. And in his name, Gentiles will trust.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We pray, Lord, now as we are attentive to your voice, dear Father, that you would teach us, that you would make us more like Christ, well-pleasing in your sight and fit to do your will. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, you'll recall from a few weeks ago that what just preceded this passage of Scripture was a controversy as a result of a certain act of mercy that the Lord Jesus performed for a poor handicapped man on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees became enraged, and they were indignant against him. You might say, as the Old Testament says, they hardened their necks. They hardened their necks. And it's rather incredible how people can be so set in their ways that even an act of kindness, okay, even a miracle from heaven, can be ruled out of bounds by them. And they're so used to having things the way they are, they really just shut their eyes to the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. What does the Lord Jesus do in response? He withdraws. When Jesus knew that he was up against a stubborn, unyielding obstacle, he departed. He left them be. Okay, all right, I have held out my hand. I have shown the Father's power, but I was not wanted here, so I will bid you goodbye. It doesn't stop him from ministering, okay? Only from ministering there. Verse 15 says, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all, each one. Last week, when we were together, we said that it's going to be our purpose as First Baptist Church to present each one of you, perfect in Christ Jesus. That is, mature, established, complete, confident, full of the fruits of righteousness, the Bible says, unto the praise and glory of God. Okay, you see here in Matthew chapter 12, how a division of people occurs. Okay, a division into two categories. We've seen this before. a couple of times in different ways. Back in chapter 11, the Lord said, he prayed, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to little children, to babes. Okay? Hid from some, revealed to others. Now observe here how this happens. Christ withdraws from the place of confrontation and quarreling, and a large number of people follow him. Those who followed him, he healed them all, verse 15 says. And those who didn't, well, he didn't. It's as simple as that. They did not benefit from his power, from his healing touch. That simple choice to either seek out Christ and follow him, or to remain in your place and maintain things the way they are, that determines whether you receive the miraculous grace of God or not. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. But the condition is, come to me. Okay? Come looking for me. Show your desire. Show your determination to find life and to find wholeness. And when you encounter him, and he says to you, now here is what you must do. Here's my yoke. Here is the good way. Now walk in it, and you'll find rest. Well, if you refuse, he'll withdraw. Okay, and that's what the Old Testament also says. This is the good way. Walk in it. You'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I also set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, no, we won't listen. Therefore, hear, O you Gentiles, behold, I will certainly bring upon this people the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words. James says, God gives grace to the humble. The proud he opposes. He causes them to stumble in their ways. Now, isn't this still today the cause of ongoing problems in the lives of people? Okay, that they, like the Pharisees, they prefer to keep things the way they are, okay, the way they're used to having them, the way that, you know, they determine things ought to be, rather than submit to the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I'll remind you is an easy yoke, right? An easy yoke. Submit to his yoke and receive healing. If we look back through the last couple of chapters over the ground we've covered since chapter 8, you'll see that it's the people who come to him. Okay? Yes, he travels from place to place, but it's always there came to him a leper, there came to him a centurion, there came to him Jairus the synagogue ruler, okay? Two blind men followed him into the house, two demon-possessed men came out of the tombs and met him. Okay, every time they seek him out. Come, sinners, poor and needy, come, you weary and heavily burdened, okay? Behold, here's this quote from Isaiah. Here, this is God's chosen one. This is God's servant. This is God's means for bringing light and life, truth and peace to the Gentiles. You can see it in verses 18 through 20, this quotation from the prophet Isaiah, okay? God gives grace to the humble, okay? To the humble, David says, Psalm 18, to the humble you show yourself humble. To the merciful you show yourself merciful, but you also put to shame the wisdom of those who think they are so wise. Okay? He turns away from those who turn away. Do you see how each kind of heart is met with a perfectly fitting and appropriate response from the righteous one? Okay, he deals with each person in their own coin, if you please. Those who followed him, he healed them all. Where he meets with resistance, really it's a dead end, isn't it? Okay, he's inclined to withdraw. He's not going to pick a fight. You see that in the Isaiah quotation. Okay, you're not going to hear him loudly arguing with opponents. He'll just withdraw, and we'll see who follows him. Okay, and in the end, this is how the process takes place. In the end, you end up with these two camps, this division of people. I think this says something about ministry. It is our purpose. Okay, it's our heart's desire to present each one perfect in Christ. Okay, that is Christ's own purpose, was it not, in coming into the world? Did he not come into the world to win everyone, every single one? We know that if we minister the word of God to you and you're receptive, that it's the cure for what ails you. We know this, okay? And we know that God puts his power behind his word. We know that it's effective for any and every sinner, any and every need. Christ promises a gentle touch. See what the quotation from Isaiah says? A bruised reed he will not break off, okay? He's not going to, you think about how it might look. You've seen cattails and things growing up straight, okay? Think of one that's been bent over and, you know, kind of broken in the middle a little bit, okay? He's not going to snap it off. His aim is to set you back up straight. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to heal you. He wants to nurse you back to health. It says, our version says, a smoking flax. It's talking about a candle wick, okay? A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. You know sometimes how the candle looks really small and pathetic when it's not burning right? You know, it's just this little tiny bit of blue color. You can hardly even tell that it's lit at all, okay? He's not going to put it out, okay? We're going to get this candle blazing up again cheerfully, okay, so that it's the room is full of light and gladness. Sometimes you see some poor suffering animal, you know, has been injured in some way or pet, something like that. You say, well, just put it out of its misery. No, we're not going to do that, okay? A savior doesn't do that. A life giver doesn't do that, okay, to the hurting and to the spiritually maimed. The Lord's aim is to restore. You know what the psalm says? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But the only ones that benefit from the healing touch, from that restorative touch, that gentle and yet so powerful, electrifying touch, are the ones that follow him where he leads, in the paths of righteousness. Okay? We know those paths lead to green pastures and still waters. But if you stay there where you are and you say, I'm satisfied with the things as is and I'm not going to follow, well, you're not going to see anything but the back of Christ then, are you? And eventually he and the flock go over the next rise and you see him no more. I want you to look at that passage in James, if you will, please. It's James chapter 4. James says he gives grace to the humble. Let's look at where that is in context. James writes this: where do wars and fights come from among you? Don't they come from your desires for pleasure that are at war in your bodies, okay, war in your members? You lust, that is, you desire things, and you cannot get them. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Possibly the word murder should be envy. It's just a little spelling difference in the Greek, but all right, either way, you have murder in your hearts at any rate, but you envy and covet and cannot obtain, and you fight and you war, and you do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. Okay, so look, these are some struggling people. They're unhappy. They're discontent. Verse 4, adulteresses. Okay, what he means is you're being unfaithful to the one who betrothed you. Okay, you're in love with something else. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Okay, enmity with God. You make yourself God's enemy. Who's this letter to? Who's James writing to? He's writing to the brothers and sisters, isn't he? Okay, it tells you that this is a problem among Christians. What's all this friction about? What's all this? Where's all this unhappiness among you come from? Okay, and James is going to give us divine advice. Where are we? For whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself, who are we talking to again? Christians. Makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says, for nothing, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Okay, the flesh, you know how Galatians says, the flesh wrestles against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Okay, but verse 6 says, God gives more grace. And you know what the scripture says, and he's quoting from the Bible, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Okay, therefore, what's his command? Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God. Jesus says what? Come to me. Come to me. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay, that's from Elijah, right? How long are you going to waver between two things? If the Lord is God, serve him. Okay, if Christ is the good shepherd, well, follow him. If not, stay put where you are then. How long are you going to waver between your decision? 9 says, lament and mourn and weep. Okay, he's saying, confess your sins. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay, you're not to lift yourself up. Let the Lord lift you up. Now, plenty of people followed him. Plenty of people stayed behind. The ones who followed, they were all healed, every one. Will you, my dear friends, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord? Will you trail along after Jesus where he goes? Are you eager to obtain the life that he has to give? Okay, he's not going to pick a fight. He's just going to go. Are you going to go with him? Now, I want you to see that there. Here's a problem with the way that salvation is perceived among modern-day Christians, and it needs to be objected to, I think, rather strenuously, that people think that they're done once they're, quote, saved. Okay, you know, once saved, always saved. Okay, that once you become a Christian, you know, once you say the prayer or get your baptism or become a regular churchgoer, you know, you cross some line or other, that really the rest of your life isn't a matter of striving and following and pressing upward and obtaining and attaining and submitting, okay? Because we do teach, and it's true, that a person is saved by faith alone, but because we teach that, people tend to think they can pitch their tent on that spot and then put up a barrier against the further urgings of the Holy Spirit to be transformed, to be transformed. And I think, especially in our country, it's really easy to dodge the call of Christ, okay, to avoid that urging of the Holy Spirit and still maintain in your own mind the opinion that you yourself are living as a Christian. Okay? The American Christian is able to run Jonah-like away from the Lord without leaving town. Okay? When the Lord tries to move you in a certain direction that you don't like, a person can just kind of go around the corner to another church, and then it's like the pressure's off. At least it seems like it's off. Okay, now that's sad that, you know, the church as a whole isn't more consistent among churches, and it's not more unified, you know, that we don't all have that purpose of presenting each and every one perfect in Christ. But that's what the situation is. You know, maybe that's one of the bad outcomes of the Reformation that we talked about a couple weeks ago and the movement to religious liberty, You know, because now you have 100 denominations, you have 1,000 micro-denominations, and anybody who can, you know, get a space can have a church. Okay, the body of Christ has been atomized into all these little bits, and there's no consistency, or very little accountability. That short-circuits the will of God for a person. Okay, it short-circuits the purpose of the church, which is to strive and to labor to present each one complete and mature in Christ. Okay? James is writing to Christians. He is warning and admonishing them. Submit to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That doesn't sound to me like the kind of one step and you're done salvation that you often hear. Two passages I think you ought to take note of regarding that perspective before we close, which I think is a wrong perspective, both by Paul. Okay, if anybody's saved, isn't it Paul? Right? Paul says in Philippians 3, however, I don't consider myself yet to have attained. Okay, that's what he says. Nor am I already perfected. But I press on so that I might lay hold of that prize for which Christ has laid hold of me. Now, if Paul says that, who are we who are probably haven't attained to his measure? Okay, who are we to say, you know what, I'm good. I don't have more left to do. I'm not going to make any further effort. And that's Philippians 3. The other passage was 1 Corinthians 9. Paul talks about how he subdues his body. He keeps himself disciplined so that he doesn't end up a castaway. Despite having preached the gospel to many, many others, he might himself end up a castaway. Okay, Christians, to say that you're saved by grace isn't the same thing as saying that salvation is automatic. Okay. When you're saved by grace, you're saved by God's grace, right? God is involved in this, is he not? It's not just an automatic process where you put your penny in the slot and the rest just kind of follows automatically and mechanically. Where is your heart? Is your heart yearning to be made perfect in Christ? More like Christ? Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to be a student, to be a disciple, to be to say, teach me, master? Okay? I want more. I want more of Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus. I hunger for more. I'm still ashamed of my shortcomings. And yes, on this hand, I thank you, Father, that in Christ you offer me the pardon for my sins. And yet, at the same time, that's how Philippians 3 is. Okay, on the one hand, he says, it's we who are the circumcision. We are the people of God. But in the same chapter, hey, I don't consider myself yet to have attained. I must press on and so somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead. God is a jealous God, James says. The Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely. Okay, you understand, friends, as long as you draw breath, you always have two choices before you. You can choose the way of God, which is the way of obedience, the way of submission, humility, dying to self, or you have the other way, okay, the way of the world, the self-serving way, the self-preserving way, the I'll just stay right here way, I like it like this way. Okay, what happens when Christ withdraws? What happens if the salt loses its savor? How can it be made salty again? So as your minister, I'm not that interested in picking fights. And as you deal with people on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to make this decision too. I think I'm going to have to use the method that Christ and his apostles used. Here's the word of God. I know that it has the power to save and sanctify you. It has healing power. But if you're just going to throw up roadblocks, well, I'm not going to hunt you down and have a quarrel. Okay? There's no shortage of ministry to do. Really, there's no use preaching to deaf ears. Now you see how good and gentle Christ is and how good and gentle he promises to be. Okay, he will not snap off that bruised reed. He's not going to put out that flickering candle. You see what the benefits are of belonging to a church whose aim is to present you perfect in Christ. Isn't that a good word? Belong, to belong to something. Okay, I want to belong. Don't be afraid, O worm Jacob. I will lift you up. I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds, because the Spirit of God is upon him, and he will bring justice to the Gentiles, and in him they will put their trust. Okay, trust him. Fulfill the scriptures. Okay, fulfill the word of God. It says the Gentiles will put their trust in him. You're a Gentile. Put your trust in him. Submit to God in meekness and weakness, and let the Lord Jesus be glorified in you. Okay, even if there's only that tiny, even if you're so badly hurt, there's just this tiny little bit of life left. He will not snuff it out, and his under-shepherds cannot, you know, have to be the same way. The goal is to coax that little candle back into flame, to bring the flock up to higher ground, right? Green pastures and still waters. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay, that's, you have to swallow your pride. You have to discard what you thought you knew, your knowledge. You have to let go of your passions and your long-held desires and your ideal life, whatever that is that you want so bad, that is the source of so much discontent. Okay, you have to let go of your ungodly thoughts and feelings. Don't be one of those people who make excuses. Okay, they're invited to the banquet, but they, no thanks, I'm good. Okay, I got other things I've got to do. I like things the way they are now. Well, in that case, there's others to invite. I'm sure you don't want Christ to withdraw the invitation. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Amen.
Father, speak to us, will you? We speak to every heart here, including me. May we pause and reflect and hear your voice telling us, Lord, where we must follow better, what we must surrender and die to, what relationships there are that must be healed and filled with love. We know, Lord God, that you see our wounded hearts. I know, Father, that you know each and every person in this room better than they know themselves, better than I could ever possibly ever know them. We look to you, Father. We are all poor and needy. Please help us, Lord, to take that step, to commit our way, to follow Jesus wherever he should go, and be found with him, perfect and complete, on that great day. Glorify thy name, O Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.